I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, and I'm really excited about it. The Weekend with AFA is a chance for our supporters to get better acquainted with the people and ministry you're supporting.
It's a Weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more. Register at afa.net/weekend. That's afa.net/weekend.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
One week, 2 weeks, 2 weeks and 1 day, 2 weeks and 2 days, 2 weeks and 3 days. Are we on the air? Oh, my bad. I was counting down the kick college football season starting so I could escape from reality. Huh? All those Mississippi State fan, we often have harsh realities.
They come crashing in.
But we're undefeated right now.
That's true. Congratulations. Congratulations.
Notre Dame's undefeated. We're all even. We're all starting even.
You and everybody else.
All right, welcome to the Today's Issues program, everybody. I'm Tim Wildman. This is Wednesday, August the 13th, 2025, with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Good morning to you.
And Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning.
Wesley's my son. He's a co-host of the show, and he's also my brother, right?
Yeah. Brother in Christ, sure.
Brother in Christ. And Fred Jackson, Brother Fred. And
Brother Fred.
Brother Fred
Good
Jackson
morning.
Is
Good
here.
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning. No, so... College football, which is, as people know, is my favorite sport, starts pretty soon. When do we got? When is Texas? Type in Texas, Ohio State kickoff.
That's kind of like the kickoff game.
Yeah, that's the big one for the weekend. Not this weekend, but I think it's coming up like two Saturdays from now. I know you're basically only interested in hockey season, but
no, and, I do watch college football. Sure do.
When is Texas Ohio State?
I'm trying to find that date, game date. I'm
August the 30th.
I'm about to sneeze, so that's the reason I'm delaying.
Go ahead. August the 30th is Ohio State and Texas, but that's not the first game. They have some smaller schools.
I'll watch anything that first weekend.
Texas, well, Oklahoma, that says October 11th.
Yeah, forget that, Ed. Yeah. That's like fourth weekend.
Yeah.
But anyway, college football starts 2 weeks from now. How about that?
Yes.
What you're looking for is the first football game.
When is that?
I'll get you that first, one.
When is that? All right, Fred.
Well, we have to start off our show today with some very sad news out of Chattanooga, Tennessee. We have breaking news on AFN.net right now. Severe flooding. And sad to report that a mom and dad and a child died last night. Because of the flood.
When did this happen?
I didn't hear about
this just broke in the last couple of hours, folks. And parts of I-24 have been shut down that go through Chattanooga.
Chattanooga? Okay.
This mom and dad and this child, they were in a in their car, and because of the flooding, the ground is just so wet. The trees are falling. A tree fell on their car, and they passed away. There are searches underway for at least one individual missing. Fire department crews are rescuing people from cars and from their houses.
Really?
Yes.
So this happened like this it started is, raining overnight or something?
This has happened in the last 14 hours
wow.
or so.
Okay, didn't know this.
So be praying for the folks in that area. I understand that the I-24 probably, if it hasn't opened, it will be opening shortly. But some of the pictures coming out of there, I just got a chance to look at them before coming into the studio, and I didn't see any predictions of this, like weather forecasting. This is something that just erupted in the last 12 to 14 hours, apparently. But prayers going out certainly for this family, the loss of life there, and also for at least one individual missing. So
it's ongoing. Like
yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, did not know that. I will say this. And I'm not a – that is very sad news about the loss of life. I've noticed over like the last 3 months now where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi, But we had heavy rain, like many parts of the South. We had a lot of showers, a lot of rainfall. It's typical in the springtime.
Mm-hmm.
But in June and July, I noticed the thunderstorms that would and the rainstorms that would come were unlike anything I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
In terms of the amount of rain that was falling at one time is what I'm talking about. Now, I don't have any explanation for that, nor do I know what that means. But I was thinking to myself, maybe this means
global rain.
Well,
versus global warming.
Yeah, you could have.
Go ahead.
Well, what I'm saying is, I just thought maybe there's some kind of weather pattern going on, a weather phenomenon going on that causes deluges, not just a rainstorm, but I'm talking about. You see what happened in now we've always had flooding but you see what happened in Wisconsin
yes
and the Chicago area last yes. week same yeah. type thing
yeah I joked with one of my friends and said that is Riley's stepdaughter who was babysitting our kids. She was at the house. She's 18 and she was leaving, and you know she's in that world of 18 years old, right? And I said, you know, this was during that time. I said, you're experiencing something that you don't even know or care anything about. But there's been more rain during the month of July
right.
than it has been in my entire lifetime.
Right, right,
during
right.
that way. And,
right.
And for those that have lived over that last 10 years, I mean.
Yeah, but this rainfall, I'm talking like an inch in an hour or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if something like that is going on. In our weather system here that's hitting us.
But, yeah. I do know that there are cycles of, you know, El Nino and El Nina in the Pacific that comes into Canada and then comes down like in the wintertime.
Across the U.S.?
And so it is something like that, but it can be cyclical. There are cyclical weather patterns.
Yeah.
Plus, I will say this too. I don't put too much emphasis on this because we've had 24-hour news since CNN was founded in the late 80s. But I pay attention to weather across the country more than I used to. And so maybe there's something about that, about social media, the prevalence of the reporting.
Causing the rain, you mean?
Not causing the rain.
I was
paying attention to it
more.
That's
true.
And you know, is it actually happening more, or are we just hearing about it more
often?
I just know in June
and July, I saw like three or four major rainstorms, and I've never seen so much rain fall at one time. That's what I'm saying. Just absolute deluge. And this is evidently what happened in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
What happened last weekend in
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yep. And there's another system, I think, in Texas. And also, there's a weather system churning up in the Caribbean right now, which
right.
may reach hurricane forces. So the southeast Florida, that sort of thing. So we're getting into that season as well.
Yeah.
Next story, Fred.
All right. Well, everybody is aware now that President Trump has basically taken over the streets of Washington, D.C., and at least 23 arrests in the last 24 hours. With the National Guard troops, hundreds of National Guard troops on the streets there now. And as expected, because President Trump is doing this, many in the mainstream media amongst Democrats, they're all saying Trump is going to take over the world. That's his whole agenda, and this is just step one. Well, but there are some honest people amongst those in the media. And there was this ABC News personality, and this is going to be cut number two, Adam, cut number two. She was honest because the crime was occurring right outside her office there in Washington, D.C., cut number two.
I can tell you firsthand here in downtown D.C. where we work, right here around our bureau, just in the past 6 months, you know, there were two people shot. One person died literally two blocks down here from the bureau. It was within the last 2 years that I actually was jumped walking just two blocks down from here. And then just this morning, one of my coworkers said her car was stolen a block away from the bureau.
So there you have it. We won't take time, but, you know, we have a montage that I've been listening to of media people saying, this is just Donald Trump. He's an autocrat. He just wants to take over, et cetera, et cetera. But there you have at least, Ed, one honest ABC news person, anchor, because it's happening right outside the door of the ABC studios in Washington, D.C.
Well, and I don't know if we have the sound from this, but Morning Joe, I guess it was early this morning or maybe it was yesterday morning, but he, on his show, Joe Scarborough, yep. he said, listen, we all know what's going on in D.C. This isn't just about Donald Trump. And he said that liberal reporters, when he's talking to them at gatherings, they will say, no, look, at crime's out of control. And he mentioned one liberal reporter, didn't give the name. I don't even know if it was a man or a woman. But Joe Scarborough said this I think it was a man because he said this person said, I'm glad Trump is doing this because crime is out of control in this city. But then later on publicly tweeted something in criticism Donald Trump because you can't say anything positive about Trump even when the crime is staring you right in the face and you're being affected by it.
Yes.
The liberals and the Democrats, they don't want to be accused of having any kind of support at all for Trump. But I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, I bet secretly the mayor and the other leadership and
police chief. Thanks for the help.
Yeah, I bet secretly they're saying to themselves, thank God somebody's going to come help us. That we can't control this any longer.
Well, they're probably thankful that they're not the ones doing it, so they can continue to look like a Democrat.
Right.
That's bingo.
That is absolutely true.
Hey, in all seriousness, yesterday I mentioned that sometimes the Democrats have a position of wanting to change the definition of what a crime is in order to get the crime stats to drop. And I said that as a blanket statement. But I have a very specific article of what's happened in Washington, D.C. And as of 2024 and February of 20th, the Metropolitan Police Department Public Information Office, I know that's long there, they released saying all our numbers are down by 35%. All their numbers have historically dropped of violent crimes in 2024, like just making a big deal things are getting better. But they left out the fact that they had changed. This is in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Now, this is not just like a general thing. This is very specific to the location in which we're referring to here. It says, when a violent crime is reported as a felony threat, which is what they changed it to, rather than the assault with a dangerous weapon, it's now no longer counted as a violent crime.
Yeah.
So they changed the definition.
Listen, very literally.
Right. Better literally, they changed the definition so as to so they could say that their numbers have improved in terms of violent crime.
So therefore, an assault with a dangerous weapon, so if I walk up with a knife and I say, hey, give me your money, assault with a dangerous weapon, they're now reporting it as a felony threat. Like it was a possible, it could have gone south. You didn't stab him. Like it's a threat.
Right.
So now it's a felony threat as opposed. So now, and then they come back and say, hey, our crime numbers are down.
Yeah. I wonder, practically speaking, Trump is deploying National Guardsmen to Washington, D.C.
and FBI and others.
Yes, that's right. Multiple. Yes.
Okay. Now, who's going to be in control? Pam Bondi, the Attorney General?
Pam Bondi is now over the law enforcement
in the District of Columbia.
She is working with the police chief there in D.C., but she is in charge. Pam Bondi,
police chief. Did you see her?
Yeah, she
bless her heart.
Yeah,
she was asked. She was asked
about chain of command.
Do we have that clip?
We don't have it.
Okay, probably good for her.
But she didn't. She did not know what chain of command. She said
she acted like she didn't know what it was.
No, somebody told me this morning that prior to becoming police chief, she was in charge of DEI.
She was.
Are you serious?
You can't make this up.
Somebody told me. She was the DEI officer on the.
I tell you, who's in charge of this situation from getting behind a mic, and that's Jean-Pierre.
Jeanine Pirro.
Is it? Yeah, sorry.
Jeanine Pirro. She's the new sheriff in town.
Yes.
U.S. attorney.
Hold on just a second. Okay. You are jumping to another subject here, and I was sharing my heart.
Yeah, and I want to share my heart,
Ed,
too.
Ed wants to share his heart, and then Ed.
Then we get back to
then
the
Ed and,
substance.
And now time for heart sharing.
Then Fred and Wesley can continue to take over the show. Yeah. Okay. Have you noticed this, Ed?
Hey, listen.
Trying to bump us out here, I think.
Move the old guys to the back room.
All right, so real quickly, I do not know much about the police chief in Washington, D.C. All I know is what I saw yesterday, okay?
Yes.
And she was asked what the chain of command was now that Trump had federalized the city. Right. And her response to the reporter was, I don't know what you mean by that.
Did you see the video?
Yeah.
I did not. I just read it. Did it look as bad as it seemed in the article?
She acted. You know what? I can't remember whether I saw a picture of it and I read about it.
Okay.
I can't remember if I actually saw the video interview of the reporter asking her that. So it may have, sometimes that can change how you view a situation. You see the actual facial expression.
I cadence. Guess what I'm asking is, did she actually not know what chain of command meant? Or did she not understand why the chain of command would have changed, and that was what she was asking? But the article made it sound like she didn't know what chain of command meant.
Right. But then it also went out to say that her prior job before becoming police chief was she was in charge of the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Division of the Police Department. And I thought that's probably not the best qualification for being over street cops.
You need to have experience in law enforcement.
And she may. She may have other experience, but it just sounded like she came straight from the DEI.
Yes.
And she's given a DEI response, which is, I don't know what you mean by chain of command. So anyway, all right, you're listening to Fred and Wesley's Daily Show.
I still have not shared my heart.
It's Fred and Wesley's show, and Ed and I are just living in it.
We're just hanging on by our fingernails.
All right, go ahead.
I came prepared today.
Ed needs to share his heart.
I was just going to mention that according to the Washington, D.C. NBC affiliate, the D.C. a D.C. police commander is under investigation for allegedly altering crime statistics in his district.
Okay.
So I think that what's clear is that the state of crime in the Washington, D.C. area has led to a lot of people who are responsible for going after crime and keeping crime low are in a panic. As Donald Trump, as president, was drawing attention to the fact that this is the nation's capital, it should be one of the safest cities in the world, the panic continued. And I think we're going to find out that both there was a cover-up of the reality on the street when you have people like Joe Scarborough who are admitting what nobody wants to admit. And so I think that you also have people in charge who secretly are glad there's a new sheriff in town.
Well, also, the reality is that people are really sensitive, and not all people, but they're really sensitive about talking about the topic itself, that's violent crime in the big cities, because you're almost talking exclusively about young black males. And when you do that, you put the racial dynamic in.
Yes.
You put the racial dynamic in, everybody starts looking at each other, scared to say, did I say the wrong thing? Am I going to be canceled?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's hard to talk about the reality of it. So it's hush, sort of, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's just the truth, what I've just described here. So, so that's a part of why they, I think, try to skew the numbers to try to make things look better than they are, when the reality is you look at the big cities in America and a lot of people are leaving, a lot of business. Look at what happened in San Francisco. It's like a ghost town of a major thriving city that used to be Oakland, California, right across from San Francisco. And you read about Los Angeles. You read about this going on all over, because the crime has gotten so bad, and the homelessness situation, Oh, it's a lot of it's related, and the open drug use and things like that has got, and the soft on crime judges and so forth.
Right.
It's gotten so bad that the quality of life for all for the citizens in that area, they just can't do it anymore.
Well, we've all seen the videos going throughout the 4 years of the Biden administration in these big cities as George Soros funded district attorneys were winning election in some of these big cities of CVS and Walgreens,
right.
These places where people walking in with trash bags and just stealing stuff and walking out.
Because there's no penalty.
There's no penalty. And then the follow-up for these stores was to put everything behind glass and locking, and you have to go ask someone to come and get you your deodorant because you want to buy some. And then these places go out of business.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not make-believe. Is
right.
what I'm saying.
Right.
This is happening in America's cities.
One other thing I'll say about Washington, D.C. in particular is, and I said this yesterday, I think, but the tourist areas are safe. Okay, so if somebody's thinking, I want to go sightsee in Washington, D.C., the mall, the museums, those places are, the monuments, those places are safe. As far as I know, I've never heard any kind of a problem in those particular, but once you get into the Washington D.C. city, so to speak, the quote inner city, then that's when you start running. So 6 blocks from the Capitol, 4 blocks from the Capitol.
That's essentially a gun-free zone too. I mean, I've looked at the policies of carrying your firearm.
That's helped.
Right.
That's helped.
That's right.
No. That's helped reduce crime because a lot of would-be criminals hear about
gun-free zones.
It's gun-free zone, and guns are illegal to have, and they just say, "Well, I'm not going to risk getting in trouble with the law."
I see that on these cop shows all the time,
yeah.
Where they're about to go in and they go, "Wait,
look.
This is a gun-free zone. All right, everybody here,
this is
put your guns in
advantage.
A bag. We'll leave it in the car.
It's a deterrent,
yeah,
for the criminals.
Yeah.
When you have signs up that have a gun, and then you have a red slash through it.
Yeah.
That's right. Those signs on the front of buildings?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead, Fred. Share your heart.
All right.
Hold on. Do you feel like y'all got your show back now?
Listen, okay. I feel better.
Okay. Well, you know, we don't want to be – we have something
to
say.
We're not dictators, right?
No.
Tim, we share the platform.
No, that's right.
Just want you and Fred to share the platform with us a little
Go ahead,
bit.
Fred.
That's all right. Jeanine Pirro is the U.S. attorney for D.C., just named to that post, and she is taking charge there. She had a news conference yesterday, and one of the reporters, mm-hmm. one of those kind of newbie reporters, asked Jeanine Pirro, yeah, but what are you going to do about the root causes of crime?
That's a mocking tone you're using there.
Well, I'm going to have you listen to it yourself,
okay.
And you can determine whether I'm mocking.
And you can decide.
Yes. Cut number 4.
My prosecutors.
You just walked through the changes you'd like to see from the punitive aspects. What about preventative? Do you or the president plan to do anything to address the root causes of crime in D.C., such as truancy?
My job is to try to heal the victims and prosecute the criminal. Everybody else can deal with rehabilitating the individual. I honestly am not concerned about why they commit crimes. My concern is if they commit crimes. My concern is the victims of the crimes. That's my job as a U.S. attorney.
So there.
Good answer.
Wimpy reporter.
That was a great answer. Now, our listeners,
you don't ever want to get crossways with Judge Jeanine.
No.
No.
No,
like Judge Judy,
yeah,
but a real one.
Yeah.
Our listeners heard a little delay there. Pregnant pause. She rolled her eyes and was trying to collect her thoughts. I think she wanted to go ballistic right out of the chute, but she realized, no, there's a political aspect to this. I will try to be as diplomatic as possible.
Uh-huh.
But she told the truth.
She's a U.S. attorney, right? She's a prosecutor, right?
Yes.
She's not a psychiatrist.
No.
Or a counselor.
Yes.
Or a pastor.
Right.
She's not or a mom or a daddy.
Yes.
She's not her job to be
get involved in how do I prevent this situation?
Why did you rob this bank?
Right. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
I want you to picture this. Her name is Kayla. She is 17, alone, terrified, and pregnant. Sitting in a clinic, tears blurring, thinking abortion is her only option. Until she was offered a free ultrasound, paid for by a hero just like you. The moment Kayla heard her baby's heartbeat, the decision was made. And today, her little baby boy, Gabrielle, is thriving because Preborn walked with Kayla every step of the way. Now, multiply that by 38,000. That's how many babies Preborn has helped save just this year. How many mothers Preborn has come alongside with practical and spiritual resources to make motherhood possible. But here's the most important thing you will hear today. Their goal is to save 70,000 by the end of the year, and they can't do it without us. Every $28 provides that ultrasound the moment everything changes. Will you be the reason the next Kayla chooses life? The reason Gabrielle fulfills his destiny? To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
You know, you never know you have lukewarm coffee till it hits your mouth. You ever notice this? I know for those who drink coffee, that's just very disappointing.
It is.
Huh? It's like having a stale donut. You don't know it till you crunch down.
And I'm mad until it gets fixed.
Right. Well, I feel like I need to walk back to the coffee pot right now and pour this out and get some new.
You can put it right back in the coffee pot.
We'll cover the show if you want to do it.
You'll put it back in the coffee pot.
No, I wouldn't do that. I think that's... That is a
weird feeling when you're expecting
expecting
one thing and then you get like lemonade instead. Right. It's just
the
a
worst
weird...
is the sour milk for cereal.
Yeah, it's rough.
And then you read the side of the carton and you go, "Well, this expired 4 days ago." And you, huh? But you can't get that taste out of your mouth for 2 days.
No. And you want to keep going because it looks like it's supposed to. It looks like milk.
Yeah. Right, but you say to yourself, no.
And cereal ain't cheap no more. Not like when I was growing up.
Right.
You go, I got to throw a whole bowl of Frosted right. Flakes out?
I know.
You kidding?
All right, Abraham Hamilton III, our attorney here at American Family Association, and he's a constitutional student as well and a host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon on AFR from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Brother Abe.
Good morning.
So we're going to replay the clip, Fred.
Okay.
Because I wanted Abe, he hadn't heard this, and I wanted him to respond to what Judge Jeanine, again, how do you pronounce her last name?
Piro.
I just known her all these years, as many of our listeners have, for having her Fox News weekend show. Mm-hmm. And... she's a very pleasant and very sweet and
very. I didn't know if you were being sarcastic.
No, Judge Jeanine, God love her. She's New York City.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
New York City could be a woman. Judge Jeanine would personify it. Right?
Now, she's probably very sweet
to
her
is.
Family
she
and
is,
friends.
Yes, yes.
But when it comes
she's
to
no
criminals,
nonsense.
She's tough as cowhide.
So, because I want Abe. His background in criminal prosecution, working for
New Orleans and Houston, Texas.
Right. I get that right, basically?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so set this up again, play the clip again, and then we'll get Abe's response.
All right. Judge Jeanine Pirro, who is the U.S. Attorney for D.C. now, she had a news conference yesterday as to how she's going to handle prosecution of criminals there in the District of Columbia. So anyway, at some point, she is asked by one of the reporters in the room, yeah, but what are you going to do about the root causes of crime? And yes, there's a bit of sarcasm in my voice. Cut number four.
My prosecutors.
You just walked through the changes you'd like to see from the punitive aspects. What about preventative? Do you or the president plan to do anything to address the root causes of crime in D.C., such as truancy?
My job is to try to heal the victims and prosecute the criminal. Everybody else can deal with rehabilitating the individual. I honestly am not concerned about why they commit crimes. My concern is if they commit crimes. My concern is the victims of the crimes. That's my job as a U.S. attorney.
Okay. What do you think about what she did? The question, and what do you think about what, how she answered it?
I think the question is very telling, and I don't know the questioner, but I can envision the motivation of the questioner in presenting that question. And Judge Jeanine's response is accurate. She's the U.S. attorney, and in the criminal context, her job isn't to psychopathologize the criminals.
That was a great word. Yeah. Did you
well,
invent that?
I might have. I had to go check my Rolodex. But
man,
it's just, you know, it's funny when we would do, when I would try cases, that's one of the questions I would ask a jury panel. Sometimes when people say have jury selection, really it's a process of deselection. You're trying to elicit information so you can know which jurors you don't want on the jury. And I would ask the question sometimes of the panel and ask, what do you think the primary responsibility of the criminal justice system is? Is it punitive or rehabilitative? What is the primary function of the criminal justice system? And I want to know that because I want to know what the jurors think. If I have a juror that tells me the primary focus should be rehabilitation, if I'm prosecuting the case, that's probably not a juror I want on the case, mm-hmm. because of the exact same thing that woman just questioned. If I'm prosecuting a homicide case, I don't want jurors in the jury box saying, I wonder what caused murderer to be a murderer. No, I need a juror who's going to say, did he do it?
Yes.
That's what I need to find out. You know, and so you have this conflation of function, this conflation of roles. By the time the U.S. attorney gets a case, the crime has already been committed. There's no role, no room for a U.S. attorney to be involved in prevention, because by the time it's gotten to the U.S. attorney's desk, there's already been criminal investigation, there's been detectives assigned, there's been a crime that's been committed, there's been a family that suffered some type of victimization. And so that's a completely out-of-context question to be presented to her.
Well, and isn't that part of the problem in a lot of these big cities, is that these George Soros-funded district attorneys won election in those cities with the idea in mind that we are going to look at the reasons why people cause crime or were accused mm-hmm. of committing a crime, and then the policies reflect a soft-on-crime approach, because mm-hmm. I know that was mentioned a lot of times, the disparity in the percentage of young black males that are arrested, and therefore if that's because of discrimination and racism, we should not prosecute, or we should allow them out, or not even sentence them in San Francisco.
No cash bail.
No cash bail in San Francisco. We're not even going to go after people who steal items that don't amount to over $1,000. That mm-hmm. seems to be driving what's happening in big cities. Isn't that what a lot of these Soros-funded attorneys were thinking, I guess?
Yeah, even the whole idea where you don't need patrol officers, you need social workers doing mm-hmm. traffic stops. It's just when you come down to it, you have a fundamentally divergent worldview that a lot of these people are driven by. You know, it's no different than Barack Obama saying that terrorists, they don't want to murder people. They just need more jobs. Yeah, need more jobs, man. And it's that divergence of worldview that really, you know, causes great, great consternation. You know, mm-hmm. ideas have consequences. Bad ideas create casualties. You know, that's just a fact.
I wanted to ask you a technical question about the different offices, because she, Judge Jeanine, I call her Judge Jeanine. I mean, that's what we all know.
That's what she was on TV as for the longest.
She is a U.S. attorney.
No, that's right.
Which is a federal prosecutor.
That's right.
Ed mentioned district attorneys, which like offices, I guess, you were in,
yeah,
right? County or city prosecutors.
Yeah.
Okay, without getting too dragged down into the details, what's the difference there?
Yeah, federal U.S. attorneys deal with federal crimes, which you'd have to have a federal basis for the crime, you know. So you'd have to have some interest in interstate impact, or if you have, for example, a robbery of a bank, because banks are insured federally, that could be a federal crime or a state crime. I've prosecuted armed robberies that have taken place in banks that I've had to confer with the FBI and the U.S. attorneys to determine who was going to handle the case, and depending on whatever factors involved, because it could be a state crime or a federal crime. So when you have federal crime, you have, you know, like RICO statutes. Unfortunately, I don't want to bring this up, but like the P. Diddy trial that just took place was prosecuted in federal court because he was indicted by a federal crime with the racketeering and corrupt influence statute.
And it had interstate charges.
Had interstate charges, that's right. So the major difference is the jurisdictional component. Does the federal government have authority over this criminal activity, or is it something that would be ascribed to the state level? And all county prosecutors work under the auspices of the state's jurisdiction, but the local county is where the crime took place, which is why it would be prosecuted in a particular county versus another.
The District of Columbia is a subset of that, correct?
Yeah. The District of Columbia includes federal implications, especially now.
It's federal city.
Yeah, federal right. city. So yeah. You'll have some crimes that would be a local, municipal, or state crimes, and other states would be prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office in D.C. because it's a federal territory.
Okay, gotcha.
Basically, Washington, D.C., which is, again, Washington District of Columbia.
That's right.
Which is not a state.
Nope.
Not a territory. Well, would it be classified as a territory? I don't know. But anyway, it's not a state. So the jurisdiction, the feds, as it were, gave Washington, D.C. the autonomy to run themselves.
Yeah. Okay. The U.S. Constitution.
Okay.
Yeah. And you have things like the Home Rule Act. You have people going crazy over President Trump saying, oh, he's being tyrannical. There's a congressionally passed statute that gives the president the lawful authority to federalize municipal police efforts on a temporary emergency basis. And the Congress has the lawful authority to extend that temporary basis as a product of joint resolutions passed by Congress.
Remember the liberals, the Democrats said, hey, Trump should have called out the National Guard for the
January 6th.
Remember that?
Right.
Well, if they had a problem with the constitutional issue right there, they shouldn't have said that.
Right.
It just matters what the cause and reason is.
Yes. Ding.
Yep. All right. So back to this. What was the question we asked Abe? We told him we were going to talk about, though, before we switched on him right there.
Yeah, we were going to discuss, because of a discussion this morning on Fox and Friends, they interviewed the Trump brothers, Donald Jr. and Eric.
They're not a wrestling team.
No, they're not. Trump they're brothers. Not.
It sounds like it, though, doesn't it? Or a furniture store.
It's a Trump brothers. Like,
come on down to a president's sale, yeah. The Trump brothers.
Go ahead. Sorry.
They were initially asked about the prospects of Zoran Mondami becoming the mayor of New York, which more and more it looks it could happen. But then the conversation kind of turned to the troubles that they have had, the Trump family, the Trump empire, with debanking. And so that led to their discussion about why they're getting into crypto. So here's a little bit of that discussion this morning, cut number 11.
We got into crypto because we didn't have a choice, right? We were debanked by every major banking institution. The people that 2 weeks before we were debanked, we could have called and gotten a loan in 5 seconds. They disappeared. We were left high and dry. Basically during the first term, certainly after you know, let's call it January 6th, all the nonsense, it got significantly worse. So we weren't even early crypto guys, but we figured out if they can debank the Trump organization, if they can debank us, who can't they go after? And more importantly, who won't they go after? And so we had to, rather than take our ball home and go cry in a corner, we had to come up with solutions. And the reality is between crypto technology, blockchain technology, so much of what the traditional banking system was made up of didn't make any sense. It's grossly inefficient. It takes forever. Right. It's not democratized at all. If you know someone, you can make... We were at the top of a Ponzi scheme. We just didn't even know it. For regular people, it didn't make any sense. So we partnered up with Zach and so many of the greatest guys in the space to really get people to understand what crypto is. And to me, it is absolutely the future of banking.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you asking Abe what debanking is?
Well, yeah, let's start there. They were debanked. They got letters saying we're not going to do business with the Trump Empire anymore, et cetera, et cetera. And basically, that can shut down a business. Mm-hmm. You can't provide salaries for your workers, et cetera, et cetera.
Did you get your money though?
Well, the same thing happened in Canada. Remember, Justin Trudeau was the prime minister. He didn't like what the truckers were protesting up there during COVID. They froze their bank accounts.
Yeah, you can get your money, but where do you put it if you're a business?
Sure.
Yeah. So the threat of debanking, let's start there. It seems real that for political reasons, basically you can shut people down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a legitimate threat. I would be interested. I mean, I'm pretty sure they have legal counsel, but I would be interested to read the exact letters, what was stated. I doubt they received letters saying because we can't stand Donald Trump that we are getting rid of your bank accounts. Right. But I'd like to read what the letter stated. I would like to read their documents, and if they can show that it was an illegal violation of their legal rights to debank them, I'm pretty sure they would sue to challenge that. But it is a real concern. It is
we've
a real concern.
We've had that happen to us
a couple
of times. Remember Stripe?
Yeah, yeah, and which is a little different in terms of it wasn't the bank that held AFA's funds, but you had Stripe, an entity that refused to process credit card transactions.
And they told us that AFA. Overnight.
Yeah, overnight. Overnight. One night we did, the next day they didn't.
This is a serious enough issue that on August 7th, just, days ago, the White House signed an executive order titled Guaranteeing Fair Banking for All Americans. Mm-hmm. And it lays it out. I read it this morning. Lays out what some of these banks were doing, how they justified it with this reputation risk. I guess something that I don't know whether that was created under the Biden administration or not, and directs federal banking regulators to remove these concepts. So this was a significant enough problem that the White House and President Trump felt the need to order banks to clean up their business and not make decisions on the basis of political ideology, and if people are not engaged in unlawful activities and don't pose a financial risk to the bank, they are not allowed to debank them. This was going on under the Biden administration where we would hear about conservative groups being told they can't do business there. And to your point, Abe, a lot of times the bank would not give reasons for it, I guess, to protect themselves from lawsuits. But it was clear that they were coming under pressure, or whether it's internal or external, to not do business. Remember they did this? There were calls for banks to debank gun companies.
Yeah.
So that they would not be able to actually produce guns.
Yeah. You know, and that's a particularly poignant industry. But I think in addition to people dealing with crypto, I think it creates an opportunity and opening for those who would be more, I would say, constitutionalist, more conservative, say, hey, why do we continue to bank with people who hate us and show us over and over and over they hate us? Why don't we build rival banking institutions? And I know, big banks, little banks, and I know it's not something that can be done overnight. But is that not a worthwhile pursuit?
But is this a problem anymore? I guess the Trumps say it is, maybe in New York, but maybe it could be. I know we got one letter at AFA from a letter and email. It was like our phone call about 5 years ago from a major bank, which we were, we do business with several banks, right? So this one bank had like one question about our hiring practices or something like that. And we were going like,
they wanted information about the sexual orientation.
The LGBT. Of our, it was the LGBT stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Of our employees.
They wanted to know if AFA was into that. You know, we were going to make sure we were right. We were compliant with our diversity when we're sitting there. Have you read our mission statement? And we're pretty clear.
Well, we told them to take a long walk off a short pier in a nice way.
In a Christian way.
In a Christian way.
Yeah, and we never heard from them again.
We never heard from them again. But
yeah, we were not debanked, is what I'm saying. But we did get you could consider that a question of inquiry from a somebody that we could have been debating. They were thinking about it. I guess I could say.
Are we through with that issue? Can I ask?
But one, okay. I'll say one other thing about that. But the vast majority of bankers and people associated with that industry, they're not ideological. Some industries are, like the entertainment industry.
Right.
But, for example, but the banking industry is not ideological that I can tell in any big way. They are about making money. You know what I'm saying? And so I think but the Trump brothers' experience there in New York, I think that's a little different. I don't personally think this is a big problem nationally with that I've heard of about Christians or Christian organizations being debanked.
I've heard a lot of conservative groups that have had to deal with this.
Yeah,
at least on social media. I can't name any. I just over the years, you know, have.
Oh well, maybe I'm wrong then about that. So I'm sorry. I haven't known. Who do you?
Oh yeah,
I've heard several. Yeah, I have too.
Several.
I don't know how widespread it is. It's certainly.
Are churches being debanked?
No, I don't. I mean, I have not heard that. Right. It's got to be significant enough for the White House to have issued an executive order on it.
But legally, you have the only what you if you're the person or the ministry being debanked, you have to prove something.
Yep.
That it's done wrongfully. Otherwise, they have the right to.
Yeah, you have to be able to articulate.
It's like religious discrimination.
Yes.
Something of that nature.
This executive order, by the way, towards the end of it, it orders banks that have debanked people to rectify it and to offer groups that have been debanked the opportunity to do business again. If the bank cannot come up with an actual financial reason for debanking the group.
And yeah, if you're paying your bills and doing what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
The other aspect of that I would say is if a bank is going to debank, meaning they were doing business.
Right.
So originally on the application to do business, they didn't have a problem with that organization's mission. But then that changed because maybe their board of directors changed or they had LGBT activists inside their company going, I can't believe you're doing business with this hate group, that kind of thing. I do think that the company should be required, the bank, that is, if they're going to, quote, cancel you, to give you a letter of reason why, okay? Because otherwise you're left not knowing what do we need to do to rectify this situation, okay? The bank needs to say, here's the problem. If you can solve it, then we will remain doing business with you or reinstitute I don't know. But they shouldn't be able to get away like these some of these social media giants have done in the past where they, like we experienced especially during COVID, when we would have discussions on this show and next thing we know we're off YouTube.
Right.
And YouTube or we were off some other Facebook or somebody and we would say, well, why were we turned off? And they would say, well, you violated community standards.
But wouldn't tell you what you did.
Yeah, we're going like, which community standards did we violate? One? And then we can consider whether we think maybe we did do something that was we shouldn't have done and we want to change.
That's right.
But they wouldn't tell us. They would just make you guess 1,000 things. And it's kind of one of these things when we all know why you canceled us.
Because, that's right.
Because Ed said hydroxychloroquine.
Hydroxychloroquine. That's right. I said ivermectin.
Yeah, Ed said ivermectin, and then we got canceled off YouTube because we were given bad medical advice. After
saying you're not a doctor.
After saying we're not a doctor. But I mean, the frustrating part was they wouldn't tell you why. They would just say you violated our standards.
And that's what the banks were doing, apparently.
Yeah. All right, next, you're listening to Today's Issues. We got 5 minutes.
I do have one thing to ask, Abe, did you have something else?
No, all banks are kind of federally regulated, correct?
Banks, you have some credit unions that have different relationships, but FDIC-insured banks are regulated.
So federally. If you have a radical president or radical Congress, they can cook up things about groups that stand against homosexuality. Therefore, you know, we call you a hate group, therefore we're debanking you.
Well, they can't do that formally because you have other legal provisions, like, I don't know, the First Amendment. That still applies. Just because you deal with money doesn't mean you don't have to consider the Constitution.
Yeah. I just think the definition of hate group has been expanded so much in the era of Biden and others that they can try to use that.
But, you know, the good thing about it the last few years is there's been a pushback. Now that we in the Christian conservative world, we've been pushing back all along. But even the secular conservative world is what I would call it. They're not motivated necessarily by the same things we are. But the people who boycotted Bud Light, for example, there's been a pretty massive the people who. One of the reasons that people voted for President Trump Kamala Harris, that was her name, right? was to state that their opinion, they were tired of the wokeness. As a general, now that wasn't the only reason. There were specific reasons people voted one way or another. But I'm saying a lot of it was, hey, I'm tired of this all this woke stuff being pushed down my throat. And I'm going, how do I express that politically? Well, I vote for Trump because he's anti-woke. You know what I'm saying? That was a big sentiment. All right, we got a minute or so to go here. Well, Abe, what's coming up on your show this afternoon?
I got several different things I'm considering. I may delve into a little bit more of what the Trump brothers are doing and with Steve Witkoff's son, who's the other guy was in that.
Are you giving crypto advice this afternoon?
Oh, I'm not giving advice. Just talking about what they're planning to do. And to talk about that, and then maybe talking a little bit about this whole Trump Putin meeting that's maybe coming along. We'll see.
Yeah,
how
we
that
didn't
goes.
Even talk about that. That's coming up when?
Friday.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Friday.
In Alaska.
Yep.
And we were talking about the show meeting this morning. Not exactly sure what the point of this is, unless they've got something already pre planned. You know how that.
Yeah. And then this becomes an announcement.
Yeah. But we'll see. I mean, hopefully, we all hope and pray that peace comes to the Ukraine-Russia war because so much suffering has taken place. War is hell, and nobody wants to see it. So hopefully, maybe from that, we'll come an end to the war between Ukraine and Russia. We'll see. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's Abraham Hamilton III. Thank you, Fred, for your contributions.
You betcha.
And Ed and Wesley and yours truly will be back with Chris Woodward coming up in a few minutes.